That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, that will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning, Remnant, and welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers. Coming to you live this Saturday morning, July 29th, 2023. And we welcome you here. We've got a full crew on this morning. We'll bring everybody on. Josh from way down south. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Brother Tim from the heart of the Midwest. Good morning.
Good morning.
And Jason, good morning to you, sirs.
Good morning.
I didn't know if anybody else came on, but if they did, we'll get them introduced. But Remnant, we say good morning to you as well, wherever you're joining us from sea to shining sea or beyond. And we'll have the phone lines open this morning. 307-745-5913 if you have a question or a comment. Jason, would you open us up in prayer this morning?
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we ask for your blessing upon this program this morning. We pray that you lead and guide and direct each and every one of us, Father, as we go out over the airways. We ask, Father, for your assistance, your guidance, and your direction. Lord, as we live in difficult times, interesting times, we just ask, Father, that we seek you and you first in your kingdom. And we put that above all and all other. And we just thank you for all the blessings that you give us each and every day. And just ask that you continue to see to it that our cup overflows with blessings from your throne. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen.
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 Amen. Well, I want to start out this morning. I want to ask if you guys remember growing up the old fable. I think it was one of Aesop's fable, maybe. I'm not sure, but it was. It's the emperor has no clothes. Do you guys remember that story? You know, the old village where the two con artists come to town, and they tell the king that they can weave this. If he gives them gold, they can weave the most beautiful cloth, and of course, it's all a hoax. It's a scam. But But they're telling the king, and of course then the king has to tell everybody, that, oh, it's only a fool that doesn't see this, that doesn't see this magnificent cloth. And so it goes on, and they've got all the gold, and the king is going to wear this lovely outfit that these scam artists have put together for him, which is nothing. And everybody's going along with it because they said of course, if you don't go along with it, you must be a fool if you can't see these beautiful garments. And it goes on till the parade, to where the king is walking down the parade stark naked with nothing on, and everybody's oohing and aahing and talking about how beautiful the garments are. Till finally a little boy says, "Mama, he ain't got nothing on." And that breaks the spell. And everybody kind of laughs, and the story goes on. And I think that that's where we're living today, is that the emperor has no clothes. The things that are going on in this land are foolishness. There's just nothing to it. And this news article I want to share with you this morning is what brought that to mind. New GOP lawmaker praised for dropping a truth bomb on sex change operations, that it's a 100% failure rate, and it hits close to home. Granted, to our shame, that we have elected Mrs. Harriet Hageman as our Wyoming congresswoman. We only get one when it comes to that. But she beat out Liz Cheney in the last election. So here's this new congresswoman, Harriet Hageman, in a recent hearing during a House Judiciary Subcommittee hearing on gender-affirming care for children, which is ridiculous anyway. But she says, "There's no such thing as a successful sex change operation." She says, "There's a 100% failure rate for sex change operations, isn't there?" Mrs. Hageman said to Dr. Jennifer Bowens during the healing, "because it's not possible to change your sex." And the doctor says, "That's right. You can't change your sex." And then another part, she says, "There's only two sexes. Boys are boys. Girls are girls. One cannot become the other." And I know that we know that. We know the emperor has no clothes. But there are so many of those out there, including many in our government, laws that have been passed, that they buy into this falsehood. Another quote, "It's an indisputable fact that 100% of the sex change surgeries fail for the simple reason that you cannot change your sex. It isn't care to encourage children to mutilate their bodies. And just as lobotomies were medically accepted in the 1940s and 1950s, and they are viewed as cruel and barbaric today, history will render the same verdict on gender-affirming care that is being practiced on our children now." And it goes on, and there were people there that that have gone through these things and talking about how horrific it was and how terrible it was and how that was not what they needed. They were lied to. That's what this one person said here. Says, "As a child, I didn't need to be lied to. I needed compassion. I needed to be loved. I needed to help me to work through my issues and not pushing me," this young lady says, "that thinking that if I got turned into a boy, that would solve all my problems." And I couldn't help but see, and I just saw this article yesterday, and I just couldn't help but seeing when I saw that, I thought of that old fable that there's lies that have been put out, and for whatever reason, there are many that just go along with it. These lies that are out there, this homosexual death style that is out there, that is sin, this the government, oh, now they've got a gender-affirming care.
It started a long time ago, and we talked about it a little bit last week, and I mean, that was, you know, when people started accepting the homosexuality. But, you know, as I was thinking about it this week, I mean, it stemmed, you know, way back before that. It started when, you know, people started accepting a sexual immorality, you know, when people started cohabitating together before they were married. And, you know, you start down the path. It starts off with, you know, one thing that, okay, it's a, you know, it's a sin, but then, you know, pretty soon it just becomes socially acceptable. It became socially acceptable in the church. And, you know, people have turned away from honoring God's laws, and, you know, it just keeps going on and on and on. I mean, it's the buck that's got to stop somewhere. And, I mean, you start letting that sin in, and it's just going to continue to grow and grow and grow. I mean, and, you know, that's where we're at, and that's why we're where we're at, is, you know, it started with something. And, you know, when it used to be back, even when I was, younger, you know, if somebody was, you know, caught sleeping around, you know, that was a big deal back then. I mean, that was something, and it was something that was addressed. And then, you know, later on, it, you know, it became more common and more common, and people made more excuses for it and more excuses for it. And then they let that go on, you know, and then it was, it grew from there. I mean, and it's because people got away from the Word of God and God's law.
Absolutely.
Well, you know, this is Paul. The law, the Bible says, "You dwelt on the law, cannot be moved." Now, if these people were dwelling on the law of God, you wouldn't even do it. That's the mortar in your life, is that puts it all together. It's the law, and it's been taken out of the church, and it's been taken out of the world, and these people don't make law. There's one lawgiver. They make statutes. They make policies. A policeman carries out the policy. A sheriff's supposed to carry out the law. That's the difference. The law has been removed, and you can put this right on the back of the people that want the preachers that tickle their ears, because they don't want it. It goes back to Samuel. They wanted the king, so they didn't have to fight their own battles. It's just a case of irresponsibility, and it's a case of the law being removed from the land.
Yeah, exactly. And it's, you know, and there's, you know, it's one of the things that you got to take into account, too, is we've got, you know, different groups of peoples. You know, we've got those that are made for the day of destruction. And, you know, those are the people that you're not going to change, and you're not going to change their mind no matter how much truth that you're going to give them. And, you know, then you got to remember, too, that they're out there to steal, kill, and destroy, and that's what they're doing, and that's what they're trying to do to, you know, our children and our children's children. And they're trying to, you know, they're saying, you know, let us blot them out and let them be no more. And that's, you know, that's their desires given to them by their father, the devil. And, you know, they seek just to steal, kill, and destroy. And, you know, we gotta think in those kind of terms, that, you know, these are stealers, these are killers, these are destroyers, and that's what they're doing. And, you know, they've done a good job of getting into the churches, getting into, you know, the positions of authority. They love schools. They love being professors. They, you know, they've gravitated towards school boards because they know that the hand that rocks the cradle rules the nation. And, you know, they put themselves in those positions. And, you know, we've got to think in war terms, and that's what they're doing. They're waging war.
Amen. Go ahead, Paul.
Well, that's the thing, you know. No one worked harder to change this world than Pastor Peters. He put his heart and soul to it. The great fall in the way had to happen. And in what's going on, the sheep are going to the left, the goats to the right, and it's becoming clearer who that is. The tares are raising their heads. I mean, the business losses that they've taken, and they still are just going for it. Yeah, it's just in there. It's in their genes. They're of the father of the devil, and we got to realize what we're dealing with, you know. And I don't always know who I'm dealing with, but I see people turning away from that system. They're seeing how vile it is.
Well, I think that you know, Saul
Samuel Fultz saw something that was really important back in 1 Samuel. And I'll just read it to you. It's 22 and 23 and 24, but it's in 1 Samuel 15. And Samuel said to Saul, and you can insert your name or whoever you want in there at the end of it, but does the Lord have as much delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than a sacrifice, and to pay attention is better than the fat rams. For rebellion is as reprehensible as the sin of divination, and insubordination is as reprehensible as false religion and idolatry. And since you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king. And, you know, we're told we're all priests and kings. I mean, the base root of all these problems is rebellion. We don't want to pay attention. We don't want to obey. We don't want to, you know, and I'm using the word we. I'm trying. I'm not perfect, but, you know, there are those of us out there that are going, we're working on it, God. With your help, we'll make it. But there's a whole group out there that is in this boat. And if you look at it, there was a whole group cast out of heaven because of this very thing. I mean, it goes back to the order of order, you know. I mean, it's like, so they want to destroy and not pay attention, not obey. So I think that's kind of what we're looking at.
Yeah, hit the nail right on the head. You know, who makes that rule? Are we going to go by God's rules, or are we going to go by the Roman law that everybody goes by? You know, they turn to their God, the government, for their handouts and all like that. Well, they're handing out paper, and there's nothing behind it. And the king has no clothes, for sure.
Yeah, exactly. Josh, you're awful quiet over there. What do you got to say?
Well, whichever God is the one that you fear is your God. If we allow ourselves to fear the rumors, if we allow ourselves to fear their lies, if we allow ourselves to fear the AI in the eye in the sky that looking at us, well, then that becomes your God. Because in your mind, you're double-minded and knotted up. You can't serve two kings. Either we got to believe that our God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, or we believe that their God is the, who's actually the small G God, is the big G God. And we need to be careful, always make sure we're not giving them that power over us in the way we speak and the way that we think. And that's something we always talk about. The reason we always talk about it is because they are everywhere you turn, but with the way that they write every news story, with the way that they arrange every video clip and every audio snippet, they are trying to strike fear into our hearts. And it does go back to that disobedience, just like what you all talked about. You know, we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the only reason we're here right now is because of his mercy, because of his love and kindness. And we don't have a single thing that God doesn't allow us to have. We're down to the second that we're speaking right now. If he didn't want us here, we wouldn't be here. If we didn't have a purpose, we wouldn't be here. And so every single morning we got to keep getting up and doing our work. And we had the same conversation, I'm pretty sure it was last week, myself and my children and all, about the king would no clothes on. That was the same, pretty much exact conversation we had in our kitchen. You know, because we that's our main job, is to train our replacements. And we need to make sure that when they're, that anytime we figure out one of these tricks, these magic tricks they're using on us to attack us, is what it boils down to, that we share that with those around us that, that have a ear to hear and that will listen, and especially our children. And you know, most people won't listen, and then that's okay too. They don't mean that, that they're not any good, if you don't pray for them. But sometimes we just got to find stuff the hard way. But we just got to protect our minds and keep ourselves in order, keep ourselves aligned. And when you fall, because we do, we're human, we're going to make mistakes, make mistakes, we're going to sin, that you get back up and you recalibrate that north and say, all right, Lord, here I am. I'm ready to go again because I know that, that you are my God and I am your Joshua. And I don't want to quit because when you quit, you lose. When we fall away from God, there's no way, unless he pulls you back in, that that you're going to prosper. He is the way.
Amen. The only hope in this hopeless world.
I think one of the most powerful things you can do is put a smile on your face and live. Because people see it. You know, a five, and it don't matter how much you know, a 5-watt light bulb is awful bright in a dark world. And put a smile on your face. It's the gospel. It's the good news. And keep that in your mind before it gets too complicated. Because that has a, because you can go quote Bible verses to people and you're talking Greek to them because they don't know the Bible. But put a smile on your face. And when they ask you questions, you know, that's when you got their attention. So, you know, I'm a salesman. The key to sales is listening. Listen to people. See what they want. See what they need. Old people want to shove it down their throat. But that's my take on it. And I've done that, learned that from a lot of mistakes.
And if you woke up this morning, you have a reason to smile.
Yes.
Amen. Every day is a gift, brother. That's right. So, it's interesting because I just had that conversation with someone the other day, and I was like, well, you know, as regards your children, you know, we're bringing them up, and you bring them up in the way and the admonition of the Lord and teach them the way that they should go. And but, you know, at the end of the day, it's not your choice. It's theirs. They have to make conscious decisions to have that one redeeming quality that we can all have. And that's all we have, by the way. You know, people talk about, I heard him talking the other day, well, he has this many redeeming qualities. He has this. Now, at the end of the day, you have one, just one. That's it. And his name is Jesus Christ. So that's your only redeeming quality. And, you know, the rest of it's all fluff. And you got to kind of, but he's freely there for anyone who'd like to pick that up. But it's a personal thing. You can't brainwash somebody into it. And if you are doing that, you're wrong. You know, I mean, not that you don't teach, not that you don't expound, not that you don't show the way, but that includes everyone. They have to choose who they're going to serve, you know. And it's kind of a simple thing, but sometimes we get really wound up in conniving and scheming and everything else. Just a presenter, you have to choose. So, and, you know, you live your life in a way such that they would see advantage in it and that they would see joy in it, but and all those sort of things, but they still got to pick, you know. So it's kind of a lot of prayer involved in that too. But the whole world's under, you know, in that boat. So.
Well, and go ahead.
Well, if we can't be thankful for what he's given us, then we can't go any further. You know, and that's, so we've got to identify the fact that he's where it starts and where it ends. And, to me, that's a big deal, to be able to have that attitude of thankfulness and humility, and giving him the credit for where credit's due. Go ahead, Jason.
Well, I was just gonna, you know, talking about who you, you know, fearing, serving who you're fearing. There was an article that somebody emailed me this morning, and good article, and it was it starts off and it says Southern Illinois University Edwardsville agrees to pay $80,000 to Christian student for slapping her with a no contact order over her pro policy and pro Kyle Rittenhouse views. Southern Illinois Edwardsville settled suit filed by former grad student Maggie DeJong, sued over school's order barring contact with other students. And it just, it starts off, it says Southern Illinois University has agreed to settle the lawsuit filed by a former grad student after the school hit her with a no-contact order barring communications with classmates who objected to her conservative views. She was a grad student in art therapy when, according to a suit she filed last year, the school used the no-contact order to muzzle her speech and effectively ban her from classes. The lawsuit alleged that the publicly funded school's director of art therapy, Megan A. Robb, encouraged three classmates to report her Christian and conservative views to administration as harmful, resulting in a ban. And basically, you know, she was attacked for her conservative views, but she fought back and won $80,000 out of the deal. So, you know, there's, you know, and you know, you can put yourself in her shoes. I'm sure it was hard on her, and I mean, I'm sure she went through a lot, and but she fought back and stood up for her values and her views and her conservative Christian values. And that's what she fought on, and she fought on those principles, and she won. And sometimes it, sometimes people just don't want to fight, like what you were saying, Josh. It's a fight, and sometimes it's that's what people just, you know, whatever will be, you know, and they have that I'll fly away attitude. And sometimes it just it takes very little opposition just to stop what our enemies, the enemies of Christ, are doing.
But Jason, you don't understand, because they've got the Federal Reserve and they've got drones.
They've got drones,
AI, satellites, and they've got satellites, and there's bomba, you know, and
black helicopters.
Yeah, don't forget the black helicopters.
But that's why we have the word, because I'm pretty sure there's some guys, you know, that were told they couldn't pray one time, and they thumbed their nose at the king, and, you know, he did everything he could do to burn them up. And, you know, who did they fear? Did they fear the rumors of this furnace that was so hot that it melted your skin off whenever you got within 100 yards of it? Or did they fear their God? And how did it end up for them? And time, story and story again, well, there's giants. You know, you can't do anything. Everything they can be thrown at our people have been thrown at them over the years to neutralize them. And thankfully, there's always been somebody that has had that attitude of, well, if it's meant that God deliver me, he deliver me. And if it's not, it's not. But I'm not going to serve your God. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord, you know. And it don't take but one. And sometimes that's all there has been is one. But there's always been one. And that's why we're still here now. And it's no different now. And if we're fooling ourselves into thinking that, you know, it is so hard to tell a boy that he can't be a girl, you know, that we've got it. Man, think about the odds of if you were facing an army that had, you know, 1,000 against 10 with swords and spears, you know, and you're standing there in front of them. I think it's pretty easy to tell Sandy that he can't be Sally. You know, and the challenges that they're facing us, but we're just so far from God that we don't, as a whole, have the knowledge. Paul said to go, you know, go back to the Word. Don't know what the difference between right and left, and then we just don't have the stones because of allowing ourselves to be neutered to get there. But you know what? Once you throw that salt out in the street, apparently if you stomp it enough, it will get its savor back, and that's where we're at. We're getting stomped right now, as a whole. And but that don't mean all of us are getting stomped, because I'm pretty sure everything that's going around us, we're doing all right. You know, we are prospering. God has given us everything that we need, and we're doing what we're supposed to be doing this morning, lifting up our people and fighting and trying to educate and be the one that's helping to sharpen that steel, blue steel, and being teachable and learning.
Remember that story I told you about the $3 bill? That lady, you know, and I stood my ground, and you know, I know when I said it, you know, things work out because they're supposed to. And it was about, you know, I sold a queer few $3 bills, and she, I got two of my family, and she was really hissy about it and stuff. And then she avoided me, and then I seen her the other day. She was actually friendly, because I just said my last word, it's wrong, you know. But I think it made a difference. You know, geez, it's true.
Amen.
Yep. People are realizing those things all over the country. I was talking with got a couple of neighbors up here that are brothers, and talking about them the other day about the Bud Light fiasco. They brought it up. And I asked them, I said, do you think that when this happened, that I said, were you guys calling your friends and family and telling them not to buy Bud Light, not to drink Bud Light? And they said, no. And I said, I don't think there were many people that were putting on, making phone calls. It just happened. It just happened. And we talked about that, it was a moving of the Holy Spirit. That the people have in their heart, the laws, that's the new covenant. And I think that's a great, you know, way to breach or to, break ground with someone. Many of the Christians today, they've heard of that new covenant. And but anyway, it was just interesting talking with these young men that it just happened. It within a couple of days, it just happened that people stopped buying Bud Light. Now, it's continued on. And after it happened, people are talking and social media is blowing up and all this other. But it just it just happened, you know, based on what Bud Light did. And I thought that was encouraging as well, because, again, it is some of those people saying, I've had enough. I've had enough. I'm not going to, like the old Carl Klang song, I'm not going to take it anymore. And many are getting that way. You're seeing reports. Saw one this morning down in San Antonio. Guy gets his truck stolen, and he tracks it down, and ends up getting in a shootout with the person that stole his truck. The person that stole his truck pulls a gun and shoots him. He returns fire successfully, and the police chief says, I like this quote. He says, the owner of the stolen vehicle certainly has the right to track down their vehicle. Now, we would prefer that they called the police before taking that into their own hands. But he did what he felt he needed to do. And to get that reported is different.
Well, that goes way back to Mr. Dillon. They were teaching us don't take the law in your own hands. We have to take the law in their own hands. You know, that judge and that sheriff are supposed to be the referee. You know, we're not supposed to be vigilantes and stuff. But we have the right to defend ourselves. We have the right to get our truck back. We actually have a duty beyond the right. So we've just been, you know, programmed from early Western, don't take the law in your own hands. Call Mr. Dillon. You know, let him do it, you know. But we have to. But to see, that's with the white race. We have the court system because they get a fair trial, and we're not supposed to, just get off. You know, you can do things when you're ticked off and do things not right, and that's why you have to. That's the way our country is, the way it is. But it's so far off the track. We have to take it. You know, we actually should get our communities, get our own little police force right there, and then call the sheriff to be the referee. You know, but we need to take the law back into our own hands.
Yeah, I wrote some stuff down earlier this week, and it's and working on another article for the Dragon Slayer newsletter. But it was, Bud Light dropped to 14th beer in America. The Sound of Freedom just hit over $100 million at the box office. Try That in a Small Town is the number one song on iTunes. And Disney loses over $900 million on their last eight releases. And, you know, and they call us the silent majority. Well, we're not really the silent majority anymore. It's, you know, people are, and that's one of the things that we've been talking about for quite some time, is people are voting with their dollars. They're deciding where they're going to spend their money. You know, they don't want to support this Bud Light, which, you know, I refer to it as trans fluid now. $100 million on the Voice of Freedom on something that it was not, you know, wasn't supposed to be that big. And I personally haven't seen that movie, but I've talked to several people that have, and they said it's, you know, it's disturbing, and it shows you a lot of stuff that's going on, and it's an eye-opener. And, you know, it shows you that people are wanting the truth more than they're wanting just to be entertained. Try That in a Small Town, a song that, basically the thing is, you know, what they had a problem with, it was the showing of the actual rioting footage that was in the music video. And I haven't seen the music video, but I had heard the song, and the song was on the radio for a long time. But we've had, the song was what got them fired up, was when they were showing the rioting footage from all these different places. And that's racist, and, you know, they're going to hang somebody. No, there was nothing about that. It was about right and wrong, and it was about standing up for your rights and protecting your rights and doing what we were supposed to do. And then you, Disney, it's like, you know, I think that people are just fed up with, they don't want their children watching that crap. They continue to try to put in their trans and their gay crap into these children's movies, and people just don't want to have it. I mean, and it wasn't that long ago that, you know, how many was it? Oh, it was over 100 Disney employees were picked up, indicted on child trafficking charges and molestation and all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, people are having enough, and they're saying no. So that's encouraging.
Real encouraging.
Yeah. Very encouraging.
It is. It is.
Well, we just got to keep the right mindset about us and, you know, live like victorious Christians and not get beat down just because what you see around you. It don't matter what you see around you, because a lot of times you don't see those, or most of the time, you don't see all those angels around you, you know, apart from Jesus Christ and the sacrifice and the blood. We don't deserve to be here right now.
That's right.
You know, every minute that we get is a blessing. And God don't owe you nothing. And so be thankful for getting to wake up in the morning and being able to have your family or part of your family. Or if you don't have your family, be thankful that you're still here. I mean, there's always something to be thankful for, and approach life with a smile until you don't get up one morning, and, you know, then you've done your job.
Well, it's like this. I told my kids years ago, you can't be thankful and complain. They're incompatible. They're totally incompatible. Fear and faith are incompatible. It's just that, you know, and you draw that line on your personal life, you start becoming a different person. You know, rejoice always. And I have, you know, I made a message in Bronson, you know, where's the joy? And I was preaching to myself, because what am I complaining about? Giving the enemy power is what I was doing, and it does no good. Complaining does no good. Yeah, that's true, but look what we have to be thankful for. And, I mean, we're close to the bottom of the barrel right now, as I see it, society-wise. So we can go nothing but up.
And did what opportunity? See any of
the... Oh, go ahead, Josh.
What opportunity, Paul, you regularly remind me that I may not even be a 5-watt light. I might be 2.5. But
with it dark as it is, what opportunity is it for, you know, somebody like us to be able to take things by the horn and go ahead and prosper? You know, that's what we are in a world of opportunity. And we know that God uses the weak and the foolish, so we are overqualified. All we got to do is take it.
Well, you know, arguing does absolutely no good. I mean, you can argue with somebody like that, but I mean, you know, when you give a testimony like that, lady, I just said, basically, I said, it's wrong. And, you know, and I didn't go no further and stuff like that. But that you let that simmer. The truth is the Bible's a two-edged sword. I mean, it cuts go in both directions. And we don't have to take it personal. All you've got to do is bear witness. That's my only purpose in life, is to bear witness, because I can't control most things around me.
You know, and when you love somebody, when you truly love them, you can maybe take that slap and turn the other cheek. And you ain't got to know them to love them. You know, when somebody doesn't listen to what you say, and that cuts you a little bit, you know, it hurts your pride. If you love them, well, just take it and go on, and don't treat them any differently, and, you know, don't go to war with this person, you know. And that's what we should love our brethren enough that whenever, you know, if they offend us, or maybe even, I don't know, dishonor us, however you want to put it, that we got to be the big enough person to take that and go on. And just remember that they are watching always. So whatever we do. Go ahead.
Several years ago, I told a woman, I said, well, you humble yourself or God will humble you. He says, don't give me that Jesus crap. And that was the end of the matter. And the next time she said, I thought you'd be mad at me. I wasn't mad at her. What can you give her except pity? You know? Well, she said, yeah, I thought you'd be mad at me. No, I ain't mad at you. You're lost.
I wouldn't be trying to help you if I didn't want you to do better.
That's right.
Exactly.
You know, I know, but my attitude is right for a change. You know, I didn't get mad about it, because most people think persecution is a difference of opinion. You know, and that, oh, that's a big deal. If you're pride, God hates pride. He humbled himself, and we're supposed to do the same.
Amen.
Did anybody see any of those hearings, or hear any more about the UFO congressional hearings they had earlier this week?
I heard about it. That was it. I knew nothing about it.
It was kind of interesting because, boy, they had all kinds of stuff that was coming out on it, and they were talking about it, and they were talking about it, and it's like somebody turned off the faucet and just, you know, put a gag order on it, because there has been nothing new that's come out of it, and basically they just came out and shut it down. I don't know, I thought that was kind of interesting. And it was just like, you know, all of a sudden it was one of those things that you're not allowed to talk about it anymore. So
yeah, the last thing I saw on it, Jason, they had military under oath stating that they had removed non-human remains from UFO crashes, and it was like, that was it, period. And then
it was boom, yeah.
And then
that
nothing.
That was the last thing that,
right,
I think that
nothing.
Thing came out, and all of a sudden there was a gag order
yeah.
after that.
Yeah, there were some questions there, and that some of the hearing members were asking one of the people on the stand from whatever department they were from, and he said, well, I can't discuss that in an open forum, we'd have to talk in SCIF, you know. And it's like, well, then why are you out here talking about it?
Right.
It's like, you know, so obviously dissemination was something, but you know, I guess you just get a piece or two, you know, that's all. It sounds like I don't know, some kind of strange bait car trap type thing.
Yeah.
Well, think about it. Maybe they're just selling fear again. you know, stuff we don't know of. I can't worry about the UFOs and all that stuff. I just got my personal life that I got to deal with. I don't know about the past and the future that much, you know, and people get hung up on stuff that don't matter. It's a real possibility, it's true, but there again, they're probably selling fear. Oh, who's coming to get us?
Oh,
yeah.
I agree. And the other thing is, and I've said this before, as one of the guys said, well, you know, if there are aliens, that's just going to destroy the Christian faith. And I was looking, how do you figure? I said, it's not going to affect my faith or my belief in my God. And he's like, well, how can it not? And I said, well, I don't know. I just figure God made them too, if that's the case. You know, I mean, it's kind of, well, yeah, but why isn't there any information about it? And I said, well, the Bible says that if he put everything that we were supposed to know, and I'm not getting into the whole there are aliens or there aren't aliens. I have some ideas about those. But he said if he put everything in the Bible that we wanted to know, the earth couldn't contain it. That's a lot of information, by the way.
That's right.
So
I think that
I remember one time I was laying on my back and looking at the stars. I was a little kid, and I looked out there, and I figured out what infinity is. I don't know what the end is. You know, there could be other worlds with people just like us somewhere else, trillions of miles away from us. So, you know, like, even like COVID hit, you know, God said the day's appointed. You know, why would I worry about it? Now, if I die because I didn't get a vaccination, so be it. There's my stubbornness or whatever, so be it. But the day is appointed. And I had no fear, but I'll tell you what, most people had lots of fear.
That's right.
Evidently so, yeah. It's quite the concept.
I think the most truthful thing I've ever seen about that concept of aliens is that when aliens fly by Earth, they lock their doors and keep going. And I think that's that's probably how it is, if at all. Who knows? Who knows?
Well, and one of my thoughts on this is if Satan can appear as a creature of light, and it says, well, my Bible tells me that he's done that before, and he can appear as other things and put on all this fakery. And again, I'm not saying there aren't. I have some ideas, but you better be careful because you don't know whether those aliens, quote unquote, that you're looking at are just him pretending to be something or not.
I think I saw one in the store the other day. I'm not sure.
Well, and you know, talking about things like we were talking about earlier, how much you know things that we have to be, the things that we have to be thankful for, and sometimes it's just the small things. But yesterday I was thankful that I had a buddy of mine call me and tell me that 9mm was on sale at the local gun shop, and was able
that
to get
must be a good guy.
He was a good guy, I'll tell you what, because I went down there and they had 9mm for 1,000 rounds for $239, and that was the cheapest price that I've been able to see in a long time. And it's like, well, at that price I can afford to shoot a little bit, and was able to pick some up. And you know, it's and that's what, you know, people have been I still hear people talking about, you know, this ammo shortage and ammo crunch. Well, it's available right now, and you can get it, and at good prices. So don't wait. And I've said this before, and it seems like everybody waits to try to get it when they can't get it, and everybody's in a frenzy, and you can't get it. Exactly. So I'd encourage you people out there that now's the time. It's available, and it goes in waves, but stuff's available right now. So if you want to get something for a good price, now's the time to buy it. Don't wait until everybody else is trying to buy it. And
we need to have a mindset for the basics, that's what I've been thinking, waiting for my turn here to talk. And there you go, Jason. That is a simple mindset of, okay, right now this is something's available. Later on it might not be. It's a good price. So let's pick it up. Do I put it up on a shelf and paint it gold and worship it as an idol that this 9mm is going to save me, deliver me? No, that's not what it's about, you know. And Paul always talk about, we try to talk about the basics we don't want to do the basics because the basics take discipline. You got to do the basics every single day for them to work. And that they define who you are. Everybody wants to jump right to Revelations and, you know, figure out the loftier things and what have you, but nobody wants to love their neighbor and, you know, to make sure that you tithe that 10% and that, you know, you smile when you get up in the morning, all these things. It's easy. It's a whole lot easier to die for a guy than to get up every morning and live for him. And,
right.
You know, we need to do the things that we know to do. We need to use what he's giving us every single day. Well, I don't know anybody. Well, if you know a handful of people, you know those handful of people, and you can be a difference in their lives. Same way Mr. Paul was talking about with that lady of just telling her the truth. And he didn't keep on hitting her with the truth. He just put it out there and went on. And we can make a difference, but nobody wants to go to a losing coach and ask for pointers on what do I do with my team. You know, if you're walking around all pouting and sad and with your hat in your hand, you know, people aren't going to look at that joy and say, man, I want some of that. How's it getting that? You know, the world's going to hell, but how do I be like that guy? No, they don't want to be like you because you're not winning.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it's holding ourselves to a higher standard goes a long ways, and that's what I've been, you know, working on with, especially with my children. And, you know, sometimes it's like they're looking over there, and it's like, well, that's the job that they did. And I said, yeah, I know. And, you know, that's unacceptable. You're going to do a better job, and you're going to work harder. You're going to, you know, take care of it and do better. And that's what is, you know, going to be important in the future for, you know, our children to have good employment and to be successful.
But you're doing your best. Give them your work.
You know, there's going to be people that take over, too. You know, these farm markets and small farmers are going to be here way after these guys that keep using Roundup. If they keep using Roundup, I think the day will come when they won't raise anything. That you can't believe how destructive that stuff is. I mean, it grabs every can and stops it, you know, 500 times stronger than it has to be. And these farmers are using it left and right, but the ground's getting like iron. And so they got to get a bigger tractor to work it. And the water table, you know, I read that book that you got me, Jason, that the water table's going down like crazy. And that's not the way it's supposed to be. The Garden of Eden where it replenishes itself. We get the timely rains. And, you know, God will bless us, he'll curse us. Well, we're under a huge curse right at the moment, but there's going to be coming people out the other side, is what I'm trying to say, and we got to be those people. And it ain't how big we are, it's how right we are. And right, and you don't have to flaunt your rightness, but, you know, bear witness, it's the truth. I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future.
Amen. And it comes back to what you said, Tim, what you read there in 1 Samuel. That hasn't changed. God's attitude is to obey is better. Because when we obey, whether it's a land Sabbath or a love our neighbor or smile at the future, that's better for us. Doesn't always seem that way. It's not better for God's enemy, but it's better for us. It really is to obey. Well, guys, we are out of time. Thank you all so much for taking time this Saturday morning and being an encouragement to the remnant, because that's what it's been. So thank you, men. And remnant, we thank you for tuning in, for joining us. And we invite you to church tomorrow. Come join us at church at 8:30 a.m. Sunday morning at scriptures4america.org. That's 8:30 a.m. Mountain, 7:30 on the West Coast, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern, and join us. We'll have a review of the news. We'll have a timeless pulpit truth and a new message for you as well. So we hope you'll join us. God bless. We'll see you at church tomorrow.
Rolling, 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 rolling.
make high. Fast and free together, make them health and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, they hide. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out. Ride them out, ride them more. Stay high.
Ha!
Ha!
Keep moving, moving, moving. Though they're disapproving, keep on moving over. Snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting at the end of our ride.